Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 5. Pulaka pulakko dhinna sarvango munchan mila drisha suchaha purnartho lakshita stena sneha prasara samplutaha. Word for word, pulaka udbhinna. Bodily changes of transcendental ecstasy. Sarva angaha. Every part of the body. Munchan. Smearing. Milat. Opening. Drisha. By the eyes. Suchaha. Tears of grief. Purna artaha. Complete achievement. Lakshataha. Thus observed. Thena. By Vidura. Sneha. Sneha prasara. Extensive love. Samprutaha. Thoroughly assimilated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. Purport: the symptoms of the highest order of devotional life were observed by Vidura, an experienced devotee of the Lord, and he confirmed Uddhava's perfectional stage of love of Godhead. Ecstatic bodily changes are manifested from the spiritual plane and are not artificial expressions developed by practice. There are three different stages of development in devotional service. The first stage is that of following the regulative principles prescribed in the codes of devotional service. The second stage is that of assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. And the last stage is that of ecstasy. The second stage is that of assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. And the last stage is that of ecstasy, symptomized by transcendental bodily expression. The nine different modes of devotional service, such as hearing, chanting, and remembering, are the beginning of the process. By regular hearing of the glories and pastimes of the Lord, the impurities in the student's heart begin to be washed off. The more one is cleansed of impurities, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. Gradually, the activities take the forms of steadiness, firm faith, taste, realization, and assimilation one after another. These different stages of gradual development increase love of God to the highest stage, and in the highest stage there are still more symptoms, such as affection, anger, and attachment, gradually rising in exceptional cases to the Mahabhava stage, which is generally not possible for the living entities. All these were manifested by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personification of love of God. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, the chief disciple of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these transcendental symptoms displayed by pure devotees like Uddhava are systematically described. We have written a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu entitled The Nectar of Devotion, and one may consult this book for more detailed information on the science of devotional service. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unnatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Nangayate Girim Yat Kripaha Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada says here, one may consult the Nectar of Devotion for more detailed information on the science of devotional service. So I haven't had time to consult it because I'm just filling in. And this is a very deep subject matter, as we heard in the translation and the purport is very, very deep. It's describing love of Godhead and the ecstasies being manifest on that plane. So it's quite challenging for me to speak on this section without much knowledge of it. So this is something definitely I need to consult, nectar of devotion, because nectar of devotion provides a systematic study of the science of devotional service. So I'll read the translation again. It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. Gopanandesh Prabhu, which chapter of the Nectar of Devotion talks about these bodily changes due to ecstasy? Do you want a book? 28. Okay, that's good. Yeah, spot on. Okay, so here Uddhava is experiencing how he's manifesting the symptoms of love of Godhead, because he's a pure devotee. And he's manifesting these symptoms because he was asked questions by Vidura, which reminded him of the Supreme Lord. So we see even in the Chaitanya Leela, many times when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard certain verses spoken by his devotees, he manifested symptoms of ecstasy. And he went into internal consciousness, and externally he was not aware of what was going on. So Uddhava experienced something like this. He experienced the same thing. And Prabhupada here opens the purport by saying, or not opens, he, in the third or fourth sentence, he says there are three different stages for development in devotional service. So here the first stage, he says, is of following the regulative principles prescribed in the Shastra. So for us, that's the first stage. And as we were hearing, I think yesterday and maybe day before, that the first stage is also very glorious. It's not that the first stage is not very glorious because we haven't reached the third stage, which is pure love of Godhead. So the first stage is practicing the regulative principles of devotional service. And it might take a while to attain love of Godhead, but we need to be perseverant in our practice. As Rupa Goswami, he explains in the Nectar of Instruction that there are six items which are favorable for the discharge of devotional service. And one of them he lists is one has to develop patience. So one should not become impatient, thinking that I've been chanting for 4 years, 6 months, 10 years, 20 years, but still I haven't developed love of Godhead. And what to speak of love of Godhead? I haven't even developed nishtha or ruchi or asakti or bhav, or even anartha nivritti. I haven't even reached that far. But because we have been in the material world for such a long time, and our bodily conception of life is so strong, For most people, it takes a while. Of course, exceptions are there, like Katvanga Maharaj. He developed perfection within a moment. So it is possible to do it in a moment, to surrender in a moment's time. But for the most of us, it takes a while. But we need to be patient. And we see, like, sometimes you go to Vrindavan, there are so many Sahajyas, or they even in there in the West, and they will imitate these ecstatic features, symptoms. They'll imitate them. They'll even I've seen in this temple also. Name disclosed. I think some of us know who I'm referring to. But yes, I've seen one person come here and he's crying. While chanting japa, he's crying.
Huh?
Crying? Crying. you know what crying is? Tears are coming from his eyes while chanting the holy name. And sometimes he's shivering. So one might think, and people have thought that this person is very advanced. Or sometimes he's shouting, you know. He just starts, you know, crying and starts shouting. And so sometimes, even some devotees have thought that because of a lack of knowledge, they have thought that this person is on bhava. They told me. He's a pure devotee. But then if you examine this person's life, you'll see he's taking pot. He's taking marijuana. So Prabhupada says that in the, or Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, that the way you tell if someone is on pure devotee or not, they have to be beyond the stage of anartha nivritti. In other words, they should not have any material desires. If someone has material desires, then they cannot be a pure devotee. It's not possible. They don't go, material desires and pure devotion don't go hand in hand. So to the degree we have material desire, the test of Krishna consciousness is very simple. As Srila Prabhupada says, you don't need a bhakti vaibhava, a bhakti vedanta, a bhakti shastri to find out where you are in Krishna consciousness. It's very simple. To the degree we are attached to material desires or sex life or material things, to that degree we won't be Krishna conscious. To the degree we are free from our material desires, to that degree we'll be Krishna conscious. It's a very simple test. And one can be honest with oneself and introspect and see where we are at. So, and if we are not, we still don't know, we can ask someone to tell us. Because others have a better idea about us than we have about ourselves. Because we sometimes tend to cheat ourselves. We think we're very more advanced than we actually are. But you can ask another devotee, they'll tell you the reality in 10 seconds where you are. So that's not very hard to find out. But in we see, especially in the Holy Dham, there are so many sahajiyas, and they profess to be pure devotees, and they'll manifest the symptoms as Uddhava is manifesting here. But we have to understand they're not pure devotees, and that we'll know if we understand. If we understand Krishna consciousness. If we ourselves don't understand Krishna consciousness, then we can easily get fooled. So yes, we were talking about patience. So we have to be patient in chanting Hare Krishna and in practicing devotional service. So what if it takes 30, 40, 50 years? Or even if it takes more than one lifetime? This is something worth striving for. Because the goal is amazing. When we achieve pure bhakti, Rupa Goswami, in the first chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains the characteristics of devotional service. And one of the characteristics is, it's right here. It's called happiness in Krishna consciousness. What's the Sanskrit? Nectar of Devotion students. I'm a bad student, huh? No, that's not Kleshagni. That's happiness in Krishna consciousness. That's not. Sandrananda Visheshatma. Okay. Okay. It's coming to us slowly. My question was, what's the Sanskrit for this characteristic called happiness in Krishna consciousness? That was my question. So they're saying Sandrananda Visheshatma. Is that right? Okay. So Rupa Goswami, he has analyzed three different sources of happiness. So one is happiness derived from material enjoyment. Number two is happiness derived by identifying oneself with the Supreme Brahman. And number three is happiness derived from Krishna consciousness. So the first two are temporary. And happiness derived from material enjoyment, there's so many varieties of material happiness. There's, practically speaking, unlimited varieties. One can get pleasure from material things by different arrangements. But all of the point is that happiness is temporary and it is the source of misery. Because as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, happiness arising from the senses coming in contact with the sense objects, that is temporary and it is a source of misery. So that is happiness in the mode of passion. In the beginning it is like nectar, but it ends up like poison. So it doesn't matter what type of happiness it is, sooner or later it will lead to frustration or even material distress. But then higher than that is happiness derived by identifying oneself with the Supreme Brahman. So then people who get frustrated by attempts at material happiness, they try to negate material happiness. And so they think that material happiness is a source of distress. Somehow they figured that out. It takes bahunam jinmanamant. It takes many, many lifetimes to understand that. Maybe we are still not convinced. So when someone is convinced of that, then they think, okay, now I want to negate material happiness and I'll be happy by not desiring anything. And some people want to attain Brahman. So even if they attain Brahman, that does give some relief, but it doesn't give any happiness. It gives relief from material distress. So that relief lasts for some time. But because it is relief, there's nothing positive, so that doesn't last very long. And then one falls down again to the material plane, whether one is liberated, or even in this world, one falls down again to material material attempts to enjoy. Then the third stage, the highest form of happiness, is derived from Krishna consciousness. So such happiness is eternal. Example of that here. So Prabhupada here, he gives the example of Kolavecha Sridhar. So Kolavecha Sridhar was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was very poor. So he was selling plantain leaves. He had a business of making cups and then selling them. So these cups were made out of plantain leaves and he would sell them. So he would hardly make any profit, you can imagine. And then Mahaprabhu would come to him every day and he would bargain with him. And it's not that the money he was getting, he was using 100% on himself. So he would use, Prabhupada says, he was using the 50% of that income on the worship of Mother Ganga. So he was following the standard a grihastha is supposed to follow, to give 50% of the income. Very difficult. It takes a lot of surrender. So he was doing that from whatever little money he was getting. And on top of that, Mahaprabhu would come and bargain with him. And they would have big argument and then he would just, okay, take it. So then one day, Mahaprabhu revealed himself to his confidential devotee, Kolavecha Sridhar. And he asked him, you can ask for any benediction you like. So then Kolavija Sridhar, he said that he did not want any material opulence and he was happy in this position because he was experiencing another type of happiness. Otherwise, it's not possible. You know, one will ask for something. At least, can I get a small house? This is the basics, one might say. Can I get the basics? But he didn't even ask for that. He just said, I don't want anything and I just want your devotional service. So that is an example of a devotee experiencing pure love of Godhead. And they're experiencing such a happiness that they're oblivious to the material distress and happiness occurring as a result of having a material body and mind. So they're totally oblivious. They're not paying attention to the happiness and distress arising from the body and the mind. So they are totally on another platform. So chapter 28 is entitled Existential Ecstatic Love. So there Prabhupada says, when a devotee is always intensely affected by love for Krishna, in a direct relationship with him, or even a little apart from him, his status is called existential ecstatic love. The symptoms originating from such existential ecstatic love are divided into three headings, namely moist, burnt, and dried up. And then further on, Prabhupada writes, when there are manifestations of ecstatic symptoms in the body of a non-devotee, they are called dried-up symptoms of ecstatic love. The non-devotees are actually materialistic, but in contact with some pure devotee, they sometimes may manifest some symptoms of ecstasy. Devotional scholars call these dried-up symptoms. There are eight symptoms of existential ecstatic love: becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs on the body, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, changing of bodily colors, shedding of tears, and devastation. The scientific explanation of these eight symptoms is given by Rupa Goswami as follows. So here Rupa Goswami is giving the scientific explanation, what actually occurs in the body, what's taking place. So if you want to be scientific, you know, for those who want to be scientific and understand how these manifestations occur. So he writes, when the prana or vital force of life is in contact with the earth, one becomes stunned. When the same force, prana, comes into contact with water, there is shedding of tears. When the same force comes into contact with fire, there is perspiration. When the force comes into contact with the sky, there is complete devastation. And when that force comes into contact with the air, there is trembling. Trembling, failing of the voice, and standing of the hairs on the body. These symptoms are sometimes manifested internally and sometimes externally. The pure devotee always feels such symptomatic expressions within himself. But being afraid of outsiders, he does not generally manifest them externally. So this is a very important point, that these symptoms are manifested internally and externally. And pure devotees, they try not to manifest externally because, out of humility, they do not want to portray themselves as a big devotee, as a pure devotee. So one of the qualities of a devotee is that they're very humble. So a devotee does not want to promote himself or herself. Whereas we see on the contrast, we see that some people want to portray themselves by manifesting such symptoms. And they're trying to get attention to themselves. So this person who came to the temple, he was getting everyone's attention. No doubt he did get everyone's attention. So, but that's not humility. That is pride. And in fact, sometimes devotees consider these external manifestations to be obstacles in the devotional service. We see Daruka, when he was manifesting symptoms of ecstasy while fanning the Lord, he considered that to be an obstacle because it was stopping his, it was interfering with his devotional service. So they see that as an obstacle also. And sometimes Prabhupada would exhibit external these symptoms externally, but he would check himself. So another one reason why pure devotees, they check themselves is because neophyte devotees can misunderstand these symptoms, and they can think that, you know, Prabhupada is being very sentimental, or a devotee is being very sentimental. So these are some reasons why pure devotees, they refrain from manifesting these symptoms externally. But internally, we don't know what's going on. Internally, they are experiencing these symptoms. So the first one is called, I'll speak for another 3-4 minutes and take questions, and then we'll end there. The first one is called becoming stunned. The symptom of being stunned is caused by ecstatic tribulation, fearfulness, astonishment, lamentation, and anger. This symptom is exhibited by a stoppage of talking, a stoppage of movement, a feeling of voidness, and an extreme feeling of separation. So we can see, even materially speaking, when someone is, they're very fearful, they become stunned, isn't it? Or they are astonished by some event, they're stunned. Or if they're lamenting, they, you know, someone has died, then they become stunned. Someone very dear, or they're very angry. So when Uddhava was describing Krishna's pastimes with Vidura, he said, one day the gopis became stunned when Krishna, in the dress of a gardening maid, entered the greenhouse and enlivened them with joking and laughter. Then when Krishna left the greenhouse, the gopis were seeing Krishna so ecstatically that it was as though both their minds and eyes were following him. These symptoms signified that although the gopis' business was not finished, they had become stunned with ecstatic love. So that's one example of being stunned. So second manifestation is perspiring. So perspiration is caused by fearfulness and also by anger. So there's one example of aspiring because of jubilation. Because of jubilation is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One gopi addressed Radharani thus, "My dear Radharani, you're rebuking the sunshine unnecessarily, but I can understand that you're perspiring only because of your becoming too lusty at seeing Krishna." So the third one is standing of hairs on the body. So one example of that is the standing up of hair on the body was manifested when Mother Yashoda found within Krishna's mouth all of the universal planetary systems. She had asked Krishna to open his mouth wide just to see whether he had eaten dirt. But when Krishna opened his mouth, she saw not only the entire earth, but also many other planets within his mouth. This caused a standing up of the hair on the body. So materially speaking, sometimes the hair on the body will also stand if you're feeling cold, right? Or if you're very, you're tense or fearful. I've seen in cats, if they're afraid, the hairs on their body, they stand. And that's one of their means of defense also. They try to intimidate the opponent. So it happens spiritually also. So Mother Yashoda was astonished. Faltering of the voice. So one example of that is when Krishna was going to Mathura on the chariot driven by Krura, Yashoda and all the gopis came to try to forbid him to pass and to block his way. At that time, Radharani was so perturbed that in a faltering voice, she requested Mother Yashoda to please stop Akrura. Trembling, When Krishna was trying to capture the demon Shankha, Radharani began trembling out of fearfulness. Similar trembling of the body was exhibited in Sahadev, the younger brother of Nakula. When Shishupal was vehemently blaspheming the Lord, Sahadev began to tremble out of anger. So that's changing of bodily color. Sometimes due to great aggrievement caused by the dealings of Krishna, the body color changes. The gopis therefore addressed the Lord thus, "Dear Krishna, due to separation from you, all the denizens of Vrindavan have changed their color. And because of this change of color, even the great sage Narada was thinking of Vrindavan as a white island in the ocean of milk." Next one, devastation. When a person is confused by simultaneous happiness and tribulation and does not know what to do, this state of confusion is called pralaya or devastation. So one example is when the gopis were searching after Krishna and all of a sudden he came out from the bushes and creepers, all of them became stunned and almost senseless. In this state, the gopis appeared very beautiful. This is an example of pralaya, or devastation in happiness. So these are the 8 ecstatic symptoms mentioned here, and which Uddhava was manifesting. Since it was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy. So Uddhava was experiencing all 8 of these, and Vidura had the opportunity to witness that. So I'll leave it here. If you have any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
My question is, these kind of symptoms, whether anybody exhibited in modern, recent past?
Yeah, I did mention that. I gave the example of Srila Prabhupada. He did manifest them.
Body color change?
I don't know which ones exactly, but he did manifest some. And his...
In Mayapur.
Yes, he was singing. So I'm not sure exactly which ones, but his intimate devotees can give you more insight on that. And even His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and there's so many others who have manifested them. But as I said, they'll try to conceal these symptoms out of humility. So if you still want to know who's a pure devotee, read the characteristics of someone in bhav, and you can observe a devotee like that.
Is this measurable?
Is it measurable? It's not measurable by material means. You have to be Krishna conscious to understand this. It's very difficult to understand when one is in the material conception of life. So only a devotee can understand a devotee. It is said it is very difficult to understand the mind of a Vaishnava. So we have to lift our consciousness, then we can understand this. Okay? Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, so he has changed his color. Happy.
Is it like, what is the devotional service means? It just think in the mind or do it physically?
Okay. Nice question. What does devotional service mean? So, Prabhupada named this society the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, we have to be conscious of Krishna 24/7. That's what Krishna consciousness is. So, and Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion that this is a practice. In other words, it is Krishna consciousness has to be executed with one's body, mind, and words. So everything has to be engaged in the service of the Lord. So it is not only something which we do with the mind or the intelligence, but we also have to engage our senses. So, but if we simply engage the senses in Krishna service, but our mind is somewhere else, then that's not a very high degree of Krishna consciousness. That is still very nice. So, as you were mentioning in your class the other day, that some people, they say that, you know, God is in my heart, and I'm doing bhakti. God is in my heart, so I don't need to come to temple. Yes, Krishna is in the heart, but we are not ready to receive His direction as the super soul. So we have to think of Krishna, we have to engage our senses in His service, and we have to use our intelligence how to spread Krishna consciousness. So that's what Krishna consciousness is. And we have to speak about Krishna. So body, mind and words. So it's not just physical, but mind also there. And it's not just intellectual or mental. If we are just simply intellectual or mental, then we'll become like armchair philosophers. You know, I'm just... Prabhu, can you do some service? No, I'm thinking of Krishna. I'm thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. So, but what are you actually doing, you know? You can think, but what are you actually doing? So everything, everything has to be done. So Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna. Arjuna was engaging his senses in fighting the battle. So he was physically engaged. But at the same time, mentally he was thinking of Krishna. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mai arpita mano buddhir, mam anusmara yudhyacha. So engage your mind, intelligence and words in your body, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. So that's what Krishna consciousness is. It's everything. Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. Yes.
And Mahaprabhu's body is spiritual.
Yes.
So, the elements are also spiritual. His body is made of spiritual
earth. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body is transcendental. So, I don't know how the symptoms are manifest in his body. I don't know. But in a material body, definitely that's how it's manifest. So that's why we can experience these same things materially, you know. If you are in fear, then your prana is coming in contact with a certain element. Then it leads to certain manifestation. But all of these are material for us. But if we become Krishna conscious, then the same principle is taking place, but it is spiritualized. But in the body of the Lord and eternally liberated souls, I don't know.
Because those elements are there in spiritual world also, like water, air.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the same elements are there, but they are spiritual, so. But I don't know the answer to your question.
You were talking about Dhairya, Nishtha. So Rupa Krishna is saying three things. Utsaha,
Nishtha, Dhairya, yeah.
Enthusiasm.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.